And I want to show you a verse of scripture that we'll use to begin our study this evening in Psalm 12. This will be, in the next few Wednesday nights, I guess the best way to say it would be a layman's study of the King James Bible, and in exclusive of all the other English translations. Now, that simply means an easy, down-to-earth study. This is not going to go, this is not a scholarly study, as the world would call it, as the church world would call it, but a layman's study on manuscript evidence that I'm going to give you. And so here tonight, Psalm 12, I want you to look at verse number 6. Psalm 12 and verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. He did not say the message is pure. He did not say the general intent is pure, but the words, W-O-R-D-S, words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. What's the context of them? The word. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That is our stand, and we believe that the Lord has preserved His words for us in English in the King James Bible. We are celebrating this year the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. Do you realize this evening that the King James Bible of 1611 is the only book in the world that has 1 billion copies of it printed ever in history? It is the most printed, most read, most distributed, and most purchased book in the history of the world. There has never been a book on planet Earth with the influence of this book right here. Never. There's never been a book on the planet with the power and authority that this book has in the world tonight. Whenever version comes out, they don't compare it to the last one. They compare all of them to the King James. That's right. You know, subconsciously, they know that's the standard in which people go by. So tonight, we're on good, solid ground, and I'm going to talk to you about the preservation of the Word of God. Now, in some religious circles tonight, they argue about inspiration. Some of the other more liberal denominations argue about inspiration, whether the Bible's even inspired or not. That's crazy. Baptists don't argue over inspiration. They all believe it's inspired, mostly. Baptists argue over preservation. The question is not, did God inspire His Word to start with? The question is, has He preserved His Word down through the years so that we still have it right now? The question I'm going to ask you tonight is, do you have in your lap or in your hands, can you see, can you read the words of God? Now, if you can, these are it. If you can't, then we are in a mess and a heap of trouble. When all the new versions of the Bible started coming out, they say they're only updates. We're only updating the words that are hard to understand. These and thous, you know, people can't understand them. We've got more education we've ever had before, and people still can't understand thee and thou. You know, isn't that something? I was 18 years old, and I hadn't been saved a week before I figured it out what thee and thou meant. You know, when he said, I say unto thee. That don't take a genius to figure out he's talking to that person. I say to you. And so, but that's what they say. Well, our kids can't understand it. We can't understand it. It's funny to me, Grandma understood it and never went to the third grade. And Papa understood it. But I heard them on TV the other day, and I watch Sky Angel. I have a Sky Angel channel, and they have all kinds of churches on there, man. I'm telling you. You talk about a smorgasbord of religious mess. It's on there, and it's a buffet, brother. I ain't kidding you. And some of it's poison. And they was on there, and they were singing. They would not say thee. They wouldn't say thou. But then they started singing, "How great thou art." You know, stuff like that. If you can't understand the Bible, they ought to change the songs too. If you can't understand thou shalt be saved, they shouldn't sing "How great thou art." Can't understand that either. Let's change "How great you are, how great you are." They don't do that. They say, "Oh no, leave that song alone." Amen. Leave that Bible alone. Amen. The Bible shouldn't be lofty. It should be in a noble English that's pure and purified seven times. So I'm going to show you during the next few weeks that the new modern versions of the Bible, all of them in English, do damage. They don't just update the these and the thous, but they actually teach and affect major doctrines of the Bible. I'm going to show you that. And if you don't believe it, you just stay with us. The blood is attacked and left out. The deity of Christ is questioned. The virgin birth is denied. And we're going to show you that I hear it all the time. These preachers get on the radio and they'll say, "There's no major doctrine affected by all the modern versions." Well, they sure are. They sure are. And I'll show you that. I'll prove it to you. So you need your education, and this is where you're going to get it here in these next few weeks. The blood is taken out, the virgin birth is denied, and the deity of Christ is attacked, and the worship of Jesus as God in the flesh is attacked. That's enough right there. That's enough right there for any child of God to say, "Poison, poison." Amen? Now, tonight, we're going to do a little history study here this evening. Now, I want you to listen real carefully, and I'm going to break it down to you and for you so that you can get it. Okay, let's just imagine tonight that we're way, way back. Go with me in your mind now. We're going on a little journey in our mind. We're going way, 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 way back. Way back nearly 2,000 years ago. We are in the days of the apostles, right? We're in the day. Here's Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all the New Testament writers. Now, what they done is the Word of God begin to be revealed to them. So Matthew, he takes a pen or something and he begins to write the gospel according to Matthew. And he begins to write. Now we believe that God got a hold of the head and the hand and the heart of those men inspired. That's what inspiration means. God got a hold of their head, their hand, and their heart, and they were penning the very words of God. When the Apostle Paul wrote, inspired of God, he was penning the very words of God. That would be, say like I wrote that right there, that would be what we call the original manuscripts. Now you hear these guys get on the radio all the time and they say, in the original Greek, it's in the original Greek this, the original Greek that. Now, I want to show you something about that. The original manuscripts, or autographs, as we call them, Apostle Paul wrote, Peter wrote, John wrote, they were written on papyrus. Papyrus, where we get our word paper. Papyrus. And the nearest thing you got to it now would be almost like newspaper. Very thin, very, very fragile. It wasn't very thick, strong. Scrolls necessarily, and so they wrote these things. They wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, all that. Now imagine, here's Matthew running around with the gospel under his arms. Now they had these guys that copied these, and they were called scribes. A scribe, all a scribe did was copy. That's it. Scribes wasn't inspired. Scribes didn't claim to be led by the Spirit. They were copyists. They copied. All right? Like that says, nail it to the cross. That scribe, he said, man, the other people want to read this. So he copied it. He took his pen down. He copied it word for word. And I mean, they took it serious. Scribe, it's where we get our word scribble. Don't that sound like it? Scribble, scribe, writing. And so the scribe wrote, and they took great pains to make every letter exactly like the original. So here's the original that Matthew wrote. They copied it and copied it and copied it and copied it. They were in shipwrecks. They were in and out of jail. They were out in the woods at night. They were in cold and rain. Those original manuscripts couldn't have lasted more than 5 years at the absolute most. You take a newspaper or something out here and use it every day and travel with it and see how long it lasts. It don't last long. My Bible, I've got this study Bible here with me tonight, but mine that I read out of all the time, y'all see them pages are almost falling apart in my study Bible. Can you imagine the literal words of God Almighty that they had and everybody wanting to see it? Right? So they copied, they copied, and they copied, and they copied. Scribe's job. Now, here's where it gets a little complicated. Watch this. Let's just say tonight that Peter, James, John, all these guys, they made their copies, and I'm going to put these in here for another set here, and they copied. Now, remember this. When a man says in the original Greek, it said, he ain't really shooting straight with you because there ain't no such thing as the original Greek. He's never seen the original Greek. Nobody alive today has ever seen the original Greek. There is no such thing as the original Greek that anybody's ever found. They have copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. So when people say, when they say only the original Greek is inspired, what they're really saying is the Bible was the Word of God, but it ain't now the Word of God. Now, y'all listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. If you went to any Bible seminary in this part of the country, major seminary, that's their stand. Their stand is, God inspired it to start with, but all we have now is copies that has mistakes here and there. That's what they believe. And that's what most preachers, most educated preachers in Burke County believe, if they're educated. You say, well, Brother Danny, if they're educated and they all believe that, don't that tell you something? Yeah, it sure does. Tells me there's something wrong with their education. Amen? I mean, if you get educated out of your faith in the Bible, there's something wrong with your education. Your education should enforce your faith in the Bible, not destroy it. And so these guys copied. Now, during this time, 100 years, 200 years or so, there was some fellas started messing with that text. And there was a fellow by the name of Origen. And this guy, Origen, and some of his pupils, I guess, begin to take some of that scripture and they would say, I don't think that exactly was what he meant, and they'd cut out words, and they'd cut out a few words, and they'd cut out a few words, and they'd cut out a few words, and they'd cut out other few words. Now, this one was still being translated, wore out, translated, wore out, translated. And here's another set of manuscripts. And what you saw in the first few hundred years is two lines of manuscripts. This one would be called from Antioch in Syria, and the apostles preached it. This one went toward Rome and became what they call Alexandrian from Egypt. Now, you got to remember that Alexandria is in Egypt, and Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. There's nothing good ever comes out of it. It's a picture of the world. So here you got these manuscripts here. Now, they kept preaching these and preaching these and preaching these and preaching these. These were corrupt manuscripts. You got that? These are corrupt. These are pure. So these apostles kept preaching them. These wore out and ceased to exist a long time ago. The originals were gone. Here's a copy. There's a copy. Here's a copy. They kept coming, copying, 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 copies of copies, copies of copies. You say, well, all them copies, hundreds of years, how do we even know what God really said? That's the promise we believe. He promised to preserve His Word. Now, if he didn't, cut the lights out and let's go home and eat, drink, and be merry, because none of us knows what's going to happen. If he did, you better listen to every word in that book, because you got to decide whether he did or not. He promised he would, and I believe he did. Now, these faded out. You know what they done with these? They stored them over in Rome somewhere. You know why? Because them preachers wouldn't fool with them. And you know why them preachers wouldn't fool with them? Because they cut words out of them. And the common people use this line of Bible. Don't ever forget that. You know what we call, you know where the King James Bible come from? The King James Bible come from Greek Textus Receptus. You turn that around, that means received text. All that means is the common, ordinary text that the common people use. That's where your King James Bible come from. Every other Bible on the market, the RSV, the ASV, the New ASV, the NIV, the Living Letters, Living Bible, came from a completely different set of Greek manuscripts. How did that happen? Well, in 1611, your King James Bible was published. We're celebrating 400 years in next month. And that thing come out. They started in 1604. It took 7 years. King James appointed 47 men. King James didn't write it. King James didn't touch it. King James never, all he did was give the order to do it. He didn't tamper with it. He didn't mess with it. So King James commissioned 47 men to translate your King James Bible. In 1650, America had one Bible. 1750, America had one Bible. In 1800, America had one Bible. In 1850, if you went in any Cambridge, Yale, Harvard, anywhere in America and said, where's the Bible? They'd point to that Bible right there. Everybody had the same Bible. But around 1880, somebody was digging around with their Bible manuscript detector. And they over here and they went, did, and they found something and they went, what is this? Whoa! It's a Bible. Now you got to realize the mentality of these Greek scholars. They're real bookish and they're real, they're like antique lovers. And they seen this and they went, whoa. What I have found. This is the oldest manuscript ever been found. It's older than the Textus Receptus. This is the original Greek. Now, this one is the one they cut the words out of. Remember that? They found two of them. This is called Vaticanus. Vaticanus because it's found in the Vatican. You got it. In Rome. And they found another one called Sinaiticus. Sinaiticus was found in a monastery over there where the monks live. It's a place where monasters are. And they found Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, two manuscripts. And they got to looking at these manuscripts and they said, oh my goodness, these are the oldest manuscripts ever. And everybody said, wow, they're closer to the originals. Now all these other ones are newer, so they've probably got corruptions in them. That one's right. And then within a couple of years, out comes the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. And America said, you mean to tell me that we've got a better Bible now? And all the scribes said, yes. How do you know? Because it's based on older manuscripts. Now, y'all still with me? Nod your little heads at me if you're still with me. Now, let me ask you a question. These manuscripts were not the best because they were old. They were old because why? Nobody fooled with them. If you took a book and put it on a shelf and left it 50 years and then used the other one every day, The one you use is going to wear out real quick, and that one's going to look just like it did the day you put it up there. The reason they did these manuscripts survived is because the common people didn't fool with them. Don't ever forget that scripture over there that said the common people heard him gladly. Jesus has always went to the common people. That's why your Greek New Testament, your Textus Receptus, is in Koine Greek. Koine means common. Common language of the people. And so they found this and they said, oh my goodness, these manuscripts are sacred. And they put the RSV, the ASV, and they come out of this line of Bible. Now, you got two lines of Bibles now, ladies and gentlemen. You got this one coming out of Antioch, Assyria. That one coming out of Alexandria, Egypt. And every new modern version of the Bible on the market in your bookstore, except your King James, comes out of this one right here. Now, I know that them preachers found that out a few years ago, and they put out the New King James. How many of you ever seen the New King James Bible? There are plenty of them around. If you're not careful, you'll buy one thinking it's King James. And the New King James come out, and they said, oh, well, see there, this is the only one that did come from the Textus Receptus. But alas, you will find these other readings in the New King James in several places, and we'll show you that before we get done. Not tonight, but in a later study. Now, so what you've seen here is in 1800, somebody said, where's the Bible? You'd say, right there. Say, where's the Bible? Right there. The RSV comes out in 1880. ASV comes out in 1901. Then the new ASV. And then ever since 1970, about every year, there's a new Bible comes out. Every one of them improving over the last 25 or 30. And therefore, we've got a mess. Not long ago, a lady from a Methodist church called me. She said, Brother Danny, she said, pray for us. She said, I've always used the King James Bible all my life. But she said, my pastor uses one. My Sunday school teacher uses another. I use one. She said, we don't know what's right. So you see the confusion that people's in. If one Bible says one thing and another Bible says something completely different or don't even have it in it, one of them's got to be wrong. If they're both wrong, we're all a bunch of nuts. But if just one of them's wrong, we need to find out which one it is. And that's what this study is about. The Textus Receptus, from which our King James Bible was taken, is the standard text of the common people back through the Reformation. You say, well, how do you know which Bible is the right one? There's a bunch of ways we know it. And one of the ways you know it is Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. And we've studied that before, and we will. You know, every great major revival that's ever been in the history of this country, the man was using the King James Bible when he preached it. You know, I don't recall any revival in America ever happening, a real revival, that wasn't being preached out of a King James Bible. I don't recall one. I'm not saying somebody can't get saved reading another Bible. I'm not saying that. There are people that believe that. There are people that believe you can't even get saved. You can get saved after reading a tract. But that don't mean it's a word of God. That does not mean it's a word of God. Now, you do have to hear the word of God, but it can have the word of God in it and still get conviction to you. But that don't mean it's a Bible and it's inspired. Now, so here's what we got. We have got two complete separate families of Bibles. The King James come from one, the others come from this. And the reason they accepted this is because it was older, and they figured that since it was older, it was closer to the originals and therefore more correct. And there's where they messed up. All right, I'm going to stop right there just a second, brother. Now, does anybody have a question about what I've said so far? Maybe you're just totally lost, and we lost you back there 10 minutes ago, or maybe you're just saying, don't be embarrassed to ask a question. We've got new converts in here, people that ain't been saved a month. And so don't say, well, I'm afraid to ask questions because people think I'm dumb. Don't matter. It'll help us, if you will. Amen. Somebody right quick. Anybody? Nobody. Anybody have a question over what I've said? This is as simple as I can break it down. The Old Testament was in Hebrew. Greek, right. And there are parts of the Old Testament that was in Aramaic, let's say in Daniel or somewhere, I think. But 95% or more was in the Old Testament was in Hebrew and New Testament Greek. That's a good point, and I'm glad you brought that out. Did you know that when Jesus was here and Paul then was preaching, they wasn't preaching out of the originals. You know good and well they wasn't. When Paul got up and said, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up in life preaching that," he wasn't reading the actual thing that Moses wrote. That's thousands of years ago. And he called it Scripture. Jesus called it Scripture, and it wasn't the originals. These guys nowadays, they're saying the only thing that's Scripture was the original. I wonder if I could, I got a quote, but I don't know if I got it wrote exactly right. A great, great preacher said this. He said, quote, the doctrine held by us is, and you'll see this in your, some of your literature, is that the Scripture as originally given were inerrant. The English translations are substantially accurate, and we compare them so we can get as close to the originals as possible. Oh, you're talking about the original King James. I'm talking about the original autograph. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. We're going to get into that too. But what they're going to tell you is, well, the King James has been updated a bunch of times. And that is that's a point, but it's also an excuse. When in 1611, when the King James first was printed, it was the English was old English, and it would be like Psalms. It has an F in Psalms, and music would be like music. Have a the word, but those are only spelling changes. They didn't change the text. The only update, they updated it twice in 1700, and they changed the spelling of the words. Because you're going to have somebody throw that at you. They're going to say, well, the King James you got ain't the 1611 King James. You know, it is. It's just the spelling has been, if you're in music still means music, even if it's M-U-S-I-C or M-U-S-I-C-K or M-U-S-I-K. It's still music. These other versions change the wording, not just the spelling. Well, there you go. How do you know? God promised to preserve His word. That's the only way we know. That's the only way we know God promised to preserve His word. If they didn't, He's left us here without a Bible in a mess. Brother,
I'm just going to make a point that it seems that inspiration without preservation is useless. If God inspired it, it belongs to it in one century.
Yeah. It does seem that way because they're the only ones that got to have the Word of God. 130 years there.
If you look at the whole time from when the first book of the Bible was written to the last, that's a long time to be inspired that. Then the first book disappeared within a century.
It does. If you got a spiritual brain in your head, you can see this right here as an attack of the devil to try to throw people's faith out of the Bible. It's just plain as day to me. But now they don't look at it like that. They look at it as this great scholarly discovery that's brought excuse me, y'all, that's brought more light. And it ain't brought more light. It's brought more confusion and darkness. Anybody else, right quick? Don't be ashamed to ask a question. Don't be afraid. Yeah, there was.
Those were corrected later on.
That's right.
Still not
changing
the word itself.
That's right. There are no changes in the word. Like it would say, does anybody have a copy of one of those original King James? I bet you probably don't, do you? It would say, "For God so loved the world." It had some weird spelling, but it still said the same thing. "For God so loved the world." it had words spelled funny, you know, but it still said the same thing. And that's when they come up and said, well, the King James has been updated, what's the difference? That's not a fair argument. The King James hadn't been changed just to spell it. Anybody else want to say something about that? Go ahead. That's right. Now remember this. We don't believe the King James translators were inspired. There's a big fight going on right now between independent Baptists over something Jack Scott said at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. It took over Jack Hiles, and all they're mad and fighting. A bunch of them won't go back up there. And I mean, it's a big war right now. And I don't really know what he said and what he didn't say, so I'm not saying one way or the other. We don't believe the King James translators were inspired. We believe they were led. The Bible is already inspired. We believe God led them as they done the translating. Make sure you get that. They weren't holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Are y'all agreeing with me? In the sense that the Moses and John and Paul and all them was. That's why they said, well, that man, King James played tennis on Sunday, and King James was a homosexual. King James, they said, oh, I don't know if he was or not. I don't know what the man did, but that ain't got nothing to do with it. Moses was a murderer, so what? God, we trust God that he got his word to us. And there's a reason why, and we're going to get to it. Anybody else? Right quick. Well, yeah, there ain't no such thing as Jack. There is, but it ain't in the Bible. Is that what you're saying? Why it ain't in the Bible? Is that in the Apocrypha? Is that one of them seven books of the Apocrypha that's in a Roman Catholic Bible? Who? If that's... Is Jasher one of the apocryphal books? I'm not sure. You're saying because the Bible mentions Jasher. There's books that it mentioned that ain't in there. And I don't know. I guess God didn't inspire it, or the Holy Ghost decided he didn't want it in there. The 66 books that are in the Bible are called a canon. Canon. Don't forget that. Canon, like straight, like a gun barrel. And they accepted certain books were inspired, and they had criteria that they would go by to see what they had accepted as inspired and what they wouldn't accept as inspired. Like, did the book claim to be inspired? Did it have the stamp of approval on it, the Holy Spirit, stuff like that? But that's a good question. I think she's mentioned in a book in the Old Testament, are these things not written in the book of Jasher or something? Is that in Joshua or somewhere? And I guess those were other books that were written during that time that evidently they chose didn't belong in the Bible.
Can I make a point on that too?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the Bible quoting another book that's not in the Bible.
Right.
Like if I get a priest and I'll quote something out of the newspaper, it might be worth mentioning, but it's not the newspaper ain't inspired.
Right.
A good quote.
That's what they were doing. But her question was, why ain't it in the Bible?
Well, because it wasn't in the Bible.
True. We'll when I get to the 66 books of the Bible, we'll talk about that. Anybody else, right quick?
Thank you.
Yeah. Excuse me. Right. Well, and you know, there's translation, and then there's transliteration. Transliteration would be transferring word for word for word for word exactly into another language. Translation would be, he might read it different, but it'd be the exact same thought in his head, but they still come from two different lines. If a Bible's in Japanese or Chinese and it comes from this line of Bibles, then you'd consider it the Word of God. Yeah. But in our Bible, there ain't no slang, are there? And he's saying we had slang in the Bible?
Maybe you had 30 different versions that was written in different languages.
Yeah.
And our English language, the way we read John 3:16, he would read that same verse to me that was supposedly John 3:16.
Right. Maybe we'll get that in a couple of weeks. English is the dominant world language still as of now. I don't know if it's going to stay that way. But God's got an English translation sort of like at the top that dominates the world, and that's it. Sure. No. Yeah. They don't even have, some languages don't even have words that mean what our words or us them. Miss Helen. Oh yeah. Amen. That's right. Yeah, just ask God. Ask Him which one's right and see what He says. I was going to say something there just a second ago. I'm sorry, y'all. Who else had their hand raised? What year did they get here? 1614? I thought they got here about, Columbus got here like 14 something, but they didn't actually come until 16 something. Yeah.
He's credited for discovering America, but he didn't discover.
You've been watching that History Channel stuff. I heard that they had a thing on. I heard that too, that they said that he didn't discover that. Who did?
Americano, Italiano, or something like that. His name is Monkey Block.
Do what? Yeah, there was already a bunch of people here.
Well, I've heard a lot of teachings about him.
I don't know who the first one here was. Indians. I got here a year before you did, Brother Derek. All right, now we're done, took up a lot of time here. So look, now next week we're going to start talking about, I'll get the question there, Tracy. I just read that last night about that Geneva Bible. I got a chart, and we'll get into that, okay? Don't let me forget that. All right, we're going to stop right there. Now, Next week, I'm going to start showing you the differences in these versions. It'll blow your mind. Okay? All right. Let's bow our head. Everybody bow your head.